Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we get started with the message today, as always, we want to look to the Lord in prayer for His blessings upon the service. Heavenly Father, as we come to You this day, Lord, we're just so thankful for the many wonderful things that You've done for us. Father, You've been so good to us, so much better than we ever deserve. And Father, we pray that You would lead and guide us by Your Holy Spirit. You know the need of the hour better than we do, Father. Father, guide our mind, guide our heart, guide our tongue. Guide us in every way that we can accomplish Your will and not that of ourselves. Help us, Father, that as we preach Your Word, that Your Word would touch the hearts of those that are listening. That Your Spirit would deal with them for those that are saved. That they would see the faults and the sins in their lives, that they could repent and draw closer to You and let Your light shine through them. For those that are lost, Father, help them to see eternity. Help them to see the judgment that's coming. And help them to see that without Christ, they face judgment with no hope. But with Christ, they face it with an everlasting hope because of what You've done for them through Your Son on the cross of Calvary. Help us, Father, in every way to accomplish Your will. And for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give You the praise. For it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. We're in Romans chapter 14. We left off last week with verse 13. Romans 14, verse 13, about how we're to judge righteous judgment and how we're to judge not based upon our opinions, but on the authority of God's Word. And we get into verse 14. He says, verse 14 of Romans 14, it says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. You know, somebody looks at meat, and that's one of the subjects he's going to get on here. You know, if you look, somebody might, let me use bacon for an example. Bacon's a type of meat. Some people say, oh man, you shouldn't eat bacon, you shouldn't eat bacon. Other people are like, bacon. We know the two sides of that coin. We've probably met people on both sides. We meet some people, man, if it's breakfast, bacon's got to be there. If it's a sandwich, bacon better be on it. If you cook some green beans, there better be some bacon in it. I mean, we know those people. We know some people say, oh no, that's fat and that's bad for your heart, man. We can't touch that. We don't need to have it. Personal opinion. Personal view. Because God, New Testament now, said we can eat it with thanksgiving. That's New Testament. Clearly taught in the New Testament. If you have any problems with that, call me. I'll go through the verses with you. But there's people, look at what this person eats. How can they be a Christian and eat this? Because God told them they could. Now, there needs to be moderation. There's no doubt. Of course, there needs to be prayer with thanksgiving. And the Bible clearly teaches about gluttony, Old and New Testament. Doesn't just say the word outright, but certainly you can look through the Old and New Testament and you can understand about gluttony. Yeah, it's not a hard subject, and it's easy to be seen through the Scriptures, even if it's not put in direct word. But nevertheless, if somebody sees something as bad, that's how they see it. That's just the way it is, isn't it? There's some people that look at Brussels sprouts and go, nasty. There's some people look at bacon and go, nasty. And to him that sees it as unclean or nasty or whatever, that's the way they see it. You know, my wife will make fun of me. I don't want to touch a pickle. I can't stand the smell of pickles. I don't like the taste of pickles. And trust me, if they ever put pickles on my bread, you will not see me eat that piece of bread. If it touches my sandwich, you might see me eat every bit of that sandwich around wherever that pickle was. And I ain't even going to get close to where the pickle was. My taste buds don't like pickles. I don't mind somebody else eating pickles. I know there's some people who like them. Some people love them. In fact, whenever I get a pickle with one of my sandwiches at McAllister's or something, first thing I do is I take my little toothpick or fork and I plop it on my wife's plate because she loves the things. But to me, I see a pickle and I'm like, ugh. But that's me. Because you know why? That's me. That's my taste buds. That's how I see it. And to me, it's not appetizing. It's not what I want. And I'd have to be a pretty hungry person to ever eat one. I'd have to be starving. And somebody will go, oh, preacher, can't be that bad. You just don't know how much my taste buds hate pickles. If I ever get a surprise and you see my tongue touch a pickle or an onion, my taste buds just don't like it. To my body, that's just not clean. But there's other things, isn't there? You know, there's some people who think the television is evil. I've never met an evil television. Never have. And I'm not picking on anybody. I very well, and I'll say this, and I upset some people when I say it, but I'll say this. I understand years ago, back in the 1950s, when it was shows like I Love Lucy, and there wasn't a cuss word coming through the television, and there were preachers standing up by saying, it is going to be the demise of our civilization to allow televisions into our homes. There were preachers that said that. And somebody will say, how foolish were they? Look at our society today and look at the influence television has had. I tell you what, they were pretty spiritual. And they saw what was coming. They saw that the Sodom and Gomorrah of America, New York, Los Angeles, suddenly had direct access to our children. And it wasn't but a few years down the road, they were using that influence to target our children and to change their opinion on biblical and doctrinal things that were settled, weren't they? Listen, even the television shows in the 1950s thought that fornication and sex outside the bond of marriage was wrong. You go into the 1960s and especially getting into the 70s and 80s, the minds of the American people were switched on that subject. Was it switched because of mom and dad, or was it switched because of some movie or television show? Whether we want to admit it or not, television has changed America greatly. It has influenced our opinions. It has created in us what we think is normal, what we think is okay, what we think is right. And we've left the Word of God for what some actor has said on a TV set. But that doesn't make television evil. Because television, all it is something that carries picture and sound. What we allow on the television through commercials or through what we're watching has great impact. And for some people, I will understand some people. Listen, My grandparents on my mama's side did not own a television. And I'm talking all the way up till they died. My granny has not been dead. I believe it's been 5 years. She never owned a television in my life. But again, I'm not going to say television is evil, but I will say this. What usually is on television is usually evil. I can say that. Now, my children do some homeschool programs and they have some DVDs. We have to, have to have a way to watch the DVDs. So I'm not going to call the television bad. It can be used for good or evil. It's just an instrument. It's how we use it. But there are some people that look at television as evil. Listen, I'm not going to get in an argument with somebody. If you feel that way, that's between you and the Lord. Again, I'm not going to call television evil, but I'll call a lot of what comes through it evil. And Christians will give an account for what they've allowed into their homes. And I'll preach that till the day I die or till the Lord calls me home. Till the Lord returns. Because there's a lot of evil that comes through television, and there's a lot that our kids are hearing and seeing. They got no business hearing and seeing. That's coming through television. And a lot of their views are not swayed by mom and daddy, because mom and daddy are not having enough conversations with them and not leading them in the way of the Word of God. They're letting them just believe whatever they want to. We take them to church on Sunday, but we let them watch TV hours upon hours every week and sit them through 1 hour worth of preaching. And if they come 3 nights a week, they sit through maybe 2 hours of preaching. 3 hours of the preacher's a long-winded preacher throughout the week. How much TV are they watching? They get 1 hour a day. That's more than double the preaching they're getting. And I guarantee you, a lot of kids are watching a lot more than 1 hour a day. Who are we feeding? But he's dealing with these things, and he's saying, you know, some people, this is evil. Some people, that's evil. And again, what is he dealing with? Remember the subject we're dealing with. For those of you who have been listening, the subject is personal differences versus doctrinal differences. Personal differences, we're going to have some things different. There's going to be some people like my granny and papa didn't own a television. There's some people that do. And I'm not going to judge somebody's whole spirituality by whether I walk into their house and see a television or not. I'm going to judge them by who they are and what they do in their lives and what they allow in their lives and what they don't allow in their lives, not just one little item. I'll let the rest judge accordingly. But he says in verse 15, he says, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. And what he's saying is, don't make a big deal because this one doesn't eat meat and you do. And since it's a subject, I have no choice but to come back to it from time to time. But if I invited somebody over to my house, and sometimes we have families over to our house, and we have friends, and you know, church members and different things, we might go out. Listen, if I know somebody's a vegetarian and I'm going out to eat with them, I'm not taking them to Longhorns. I'm not taking them to a steakhouse. I want them to have a little bit more options. And I know pretty much every restaurant has meat, but I'm going to take them where I think they have the most options for whatever their diet is. I'm going to try to be respectful to them. I'm not going to take them to a place where there's not even an option for them. And I'm not going to try to be disrespectful to them. I'm going to try to act charitable to them. I'm going to try to prefer them above myself. That doesn't mean that I'm becoming a vegetarian with them. It just means I'm not trying to offend them. If they come over to my house and they say, well, what you cooking for since you invited us over? I'm not going to say, well, man, I got some sirloins and they're cooking on the grill. That's not what I'm going to do. I'm not going to take my personal choice versus their personal choice in life and try to make it something that's going to divide us or separate us. I'm talking about personal choices, not doctrinal choices. There's a big difference between what meat we eat versus whether you're living in fornication or idolatry or something like that. There is a big difference. We're not talking about homosexual lifestyle. We're not talking about fornication. We're not talking about somebody who's living openly in some type of sin. We're talking about personal differences. Now, I might would joke with a friend. I've made mention before, you know, my pastor's a big Alabama fan. You know, I might get him an Auburn mug at some time to play a little joke because I know him. And he knows me, and he knows I'll joke with him a little bit, and I know he'll joke with me a little bit. And that's not going to hurt our fellowship. That's something we'll laugh about and joke about and go on. Again, that's not what the Bible's talking about here. He's talking about, are we going to let some of our personal differences divide us? Are we going to let little things like a vegetarian versus a carnivorous person divide us? My goodness, the Lord could come back tomorrow. Who cares if you eat bacon or not? If you want to eat tofu, have at it. If I want to buy something at Walmart and you think Walmart's evil, that's just some difference we got. It's not a moral difference. It's not a biblical difference. It's not a doctrinal difference. Somebody might go to a place where they buy only organic food. Some people might buy stuff filled with GMOs. His church is going to fall out over this. Again, notice the subject. And don't try to make a mountain out of a molehill. If it's not a doctrinal issue, leave it alone. He said, "Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." Some people will get upset because I don't think preachers should shave. Another one says I'm upset because preacher's got too big of a beard. There's personal differences. Not falling out with a preacher because he has a beard or he has a mustache. I'm concerned about, is he standing for righteousness? Is he standing for the peace and the doctrinal truths by the Holy Ghost in the Word of God? Now, whether he's got a beard or not. And somebody will say, yeah, that's the way it should be about tattoos. Listen, the Bible deals with tattoos, okay? That becomes a doctrinal issue. It is a clear commandment in the Word of God not to mark on yourself. Not to write on yourself. Not to mark the dead on yourself. Not to cut on yourself. I mean, these are things taught about. That your bodies are not to be used to draw attention to yourself, but draw attention to Christ. And if you got markings all over your body, guess who the attention is on? It ain't God. So don't try to take these scriptures and use it to cover up something that is directly dealt with scripture. What he says we need to be focused on is righteousness, things of the Word of God. And that's covered in the Word of God. Fornication is covered in the Word of God. Modesty is covered in the Word of God. And some people don't want that subject dealt with in the church, but it's dealt with in the Bible. And if we're for God, we uphold His Word. He says, "For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace." And that peace there is not talking about peace between me and you. It's talking about peace between us and God. That we're standing upon the things of God, where we have peace with God, where we have unity in Christ as a church. And things wherewith one may edify another. He said, "For meat destroy not the work of God." Somebody's eating pig, it don't destroy the work of God. If somebody likes drinking a Coca-Cola, it doesn't destroy the work of God. If somebody likes eating a Snicker bar, and you think as somebody that's health crazy, that, "Oh, I'd never put such a thing in my body." Well, get over it. But the body's the temple, preacher, it is. And that subject that's talking about the body as the temple is actually dealing with the sin of fornication. Sex outside the bond of marriage. And sadly, we don't have enough Christians thinking about that subject as we do about the food they're putting in their body. There were some people so upset because Jesus' disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate a meal. We got some like that today. "Oh, you got to sanitize your hands. You got to wash your hands. You got to." And I'm not against sanitation. I like to wash my hands. But there's sometimes I get a little dirt on it. I ain't worried. I still eat something. He'll be like, "Didn't you notice the dirt on your hands and then you ate with it, huh?" Okay. It's not that which goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, because that which cometh out cometh from the heart. Does that give me an excuse never to wash my hands? No. Does that mean I should be as filthy as I want to be? No. But it means I shouldn't fall out with my brother or sister in Christ over something that little or that small when there's doctrinal things at stake. We're to do things that edify one another. "For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure. But it is evil for that man who eateth with offense." If I do something for the sole purpose of upsetting my brother or sister in Christ, and guess who's in the sin? And just because God might allow you to do something doesn't make it good for you to do it. And there's a lot of people going around saying, "Well, I don't feel convicted about this. Well, I don't feel bad about this." You're causing a big stink in the church because of what you're doing. It's an offense. Okay? Can we understand that by the Scripture? Just because I can do something don't mean that I should. If I'm focused on edifying and esteeming my brother or sister in Christ more highly than myself, I'm not going to intentionally do something that's going to offend them. And I've made the statement before in preaching. You know, there's some churches that I've gone through that they think a preacher should only wear a white shirt. And you know what my job is to do? Preach the gospel. Some people want me to get into arguments on this. I'm not going to get in a big argument. I'll just say it this way. I don't have a problem wearing a different color shirt. It's not a big deal to me. But at the same time, if I'm going to go somewhere and I know it can be offensive to the people I'm preaching to and it might be a hindrance to the gospel, I'm more concerned about the gospel than I am the color of my shirt. And I'll wear it white all day long. And most of the church I own is white because of that reason. And some people say, "Well, there's not too many churches that feel that way, or there's not too many people that feel that." It doesn't matter. I'm going to make sure that I'm not going to cause an offense. I'm not going to make it an issue. Now, I occasionally wear another color shirt. Occasionally do. And if anybody asks my opinion on it, I don't mind telling them my opinion. I'm not going to hide behind the Word of God. And what I mean by that is just because somebody might be offended with it, if they honestly ask me my opinion, I'm not going to lie to them. Now, if I see it's going to cause an argument, I'll say, "I don't think that's a subject I want to talk about." I can avoid it. I can avoid the subject. I can see that it might lead into nothing but an argument, and I'm not going to have that. But if I see that somebody really wants to know, I'll tell them, on any given subject they want to talk about. I'll say, well, this is how I see it. But then at the same time, I'm going to come back to edification and say, but if I see it's going to be a hindrance or a stumbling block to the church, and it's not going to be something that's going to edify and accomplish the will of God, I'm going to let it go. Because the will of God is more important than what even God will allow me to do personally. He said in verse 21, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is of sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin. So if I sit there and I'm halfway thinking, man, I don't know if God's happy with this or not, but think others happy, I'll just take part anyway. And I don't do it by faith. I don't do it because I know that it's fine with God. I do something half-hearted and not by faith and not by trust. God's going to hold me accountable for that. God's going to hold me accountable. And that's why I tell people all the time, make sure you have a clean conscience between you and God. And it is not my job. Now, if you're doing something doctrinally wrong that totally goes against the Scripture, I'll deal with that. But there are some things that are personal, aren't they? What you eat and what you feel comfortable eating between you and God, that's your business. Where you feel comfortable at going and what lines of things that you allow in your life, that's your business. And as long as it's not things that are causing offense in the church and are stopping edification in the church, I promise you, I'm going to let that be between you and God as long as it's not a doctrinal issue. But even if you allow things in your life and do things and it's not by faith, and you're just doing it to please somebody else and not God, and your focus is not on God, but it's on you or it's on somebody else, God says He's going to hold you accountable for that. And dear friend, I pray you see the severity of what He's talking about here. And I don't believe I can just preach it right or get every T-cross, every I dotted, like I would like to, in this short of message in the time that we're allowed on the radio stations. But I pray that God opens your heart and helps you to see some things as you study here in the book of Romans. I hope you see the difference between a personal judgment and a righteous judgment. I hope you see the difference between something done of faith and things done in your life and things that you do before others, of whether to cause offense or whether to be edifying. I pray that you come back to some scriptures that deal with avoid even the appearance of evil. Preferring thy neighbor above thyself. Doing things that will be edifying to thy brother or sister Christ. I pray that you come back and study those things and really pray about them and get into depth and not say, well, I feel fine about it. Not considering thy brother or sister in Christ. We need to make sure that we're doing things by faith in accordance with the Word of God and the doctrine of edification. And dear friend, I pray this could be a blessing and encouragement to you. And if you would have anything upon your heart, our number is 601-544-7920. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take this message, use it to your honor and glory for the good accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give you the praise, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.